This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this Tuesday, March 16th. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Thinking about declothing.
And good evening to Don. And good evening to Michael.
25K I could get you?
Ooh.
And good evening to Don.
Easy peasy. You're taking me home.
Oh, and lastly, good evening to myself.
I'm weak. I'm soft. I'm pathetic.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot going on. Last night, we saw a very, very angry Julius Randle. He was furious with referee Scott Foster for calling a travel. Some called an up and down. Whatever you want to call it. It was late in the fourth quarter, and after a review and a jump ball, the Knicks finally have an opportunity with 5 seconds left to tie the game with a three-point shot. Randle gets the look on his way up. Kyrie Irving gets a finger on the ball, and as a result, Randle kind of juggles it, but it never leaves his hand. He lands on the ground. They call the travel. Ball to the Nets. Game over. Let's first hear from Kyrie Irving on that play.
Yeah, no, I was either going to foul early, but I saw him lining up for a jump shot. I felt like I could get a good hand on it. You know, Scott called travel. I thought Julius made a good play afterwards, putting it down. I was going to foul him after that just to get him to the free throw line. But, yeah, that's how it looked. That's how it went.
And here's Julius Randle. What did he say to Scott Foster?
I mean, it was a conversation, but I just, you know, I think it's just best that I just don't comment on the situation. It's a lot of frustration behind it. And I mean, for both sides, you know, I'll just let it be in the past and just move on to the next game.
Now, we had on Mike Breen earlier, and in real time, he thought that it was a bad call. And Mike is always on the side of the referees. And he made a lot of calls. He called the head of officials of the NBA, and it was explained to him that it was the absolute correct call. Randle was wrong for going nuts like that. It was a bad call. It was a bad reaction to a good call. The call was right.
I understand what you're saying. I like the spirit of, you know, the want to there. But you're right. You don't want to get suspended.
What's this?
I liked it. It felt nice to hear.
But what happened?
I don't know. But by the way, it's a great time, speaking of random music playing at a random time, to remind you guys, Drop Madness is coming. The reveal is tomorrow at this time. The brackets will be unveiled right at this time tomorrow. Drop Madness on the K-Show, brought to you by Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you.
But the voting starts Thursday, so you're just revealing the brackets tomorrow.
Well, you got to see them.
Isn't that what I said?
Yeah, I don't want people to think they could vote tomorrow.
No. Of course, it's just like the tournament. You got to have a bracket reveal.
Yeah.
Now I spoke to Andrew earlier.
Did you guys see the speaking of a bracket reveal? So Greg Gumbel hosted on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Don or Peter, jump in. How old do you think Greg Gumbel is?
63,
okay, Peter.
I'm not going to think of it in a loaded way. I'm just going to think about it and how much I've seen him throughout my life. 65.
Greg Gumbel is 74 years old.
Wow.
And looks terrific.
So, how old's Bryant? Because Bryant's the older brother.
I think Bryant's older. Bryant's older than that.
102.
Wow. Looks great for 102.
No, so that means
Bryant's 72. He's not older. Greg's older, I think.
Really? Yeah. That shocks me even more than the age.
I don't believe it. I'm shocked by it. I'm flabbergasted.
That's why I brought it up. I knew that you guys would have this reaction.
74, May 3rd, 1946.
So he's on the precipice of 75.
On the precipice. And Bryant, wow, September 29th, 1948, 72. Are they doing another season of Gumball to Gumball? Do we know?
Gumball to Gumball.
Great reference, Peter. I got it.
It's a fictional show from Family Guy. Wow, though, I really didn't know Greg Gumball. That's shocking. So that means Greg Gumball, I feel, came to prominence, guys, in the early 90s, right?
One man's prominence is another man's, disappearance.
I'm going to see. First CBS stint. Gumball's CBS career began with part-time work as an NFL announcer in 88. That's part-time work as an announcer in 88.
And then
he did college basketball.
Well, you're missing one important thing. He was at MSG, and he did the first 2 years of the Yankees.
MSG, ESPN, and WFAN.
Yeah.
He anchored SportsCenter and did play-by-play for early NBA games on MSG. Gumball served as a backup announcer for Marv Albert on New York Knicks broadcast, as well as providing coverage for college basketball. And when MSG signed a huge contract to broadcast Yankees games in 89, Gumball served as a host of the pregame and postgame.
Yeah, he was there before Al took over, Al Trawick.
And
in addition to the MSG duties, he was host of the first morning show on FAN.
Yep.
Which means that's back when it was owned by Emmis.
Yeah.
All the way back.
And the first time I remember Brian, I remember him on NFL 80. So that's probably started like late 70s for him. I really thought he was older, but I guess because he got the exposure first, we just assumed it.
That's it. It's just he's been famous longer. And then he had bigger exposure at first, too, because he had the Today Show.
The Today Show, where he was massive.
A lot of people know this. Jane Pauley's 106.
She's actually, she hosts CBS Sunday Morning.
She's not 106?
No, she's not.
Is she the same age as Bryant, like 72?
I don't know.
Why don't you know?
She's 70. I don't. I'm bringing sports facts to the show. I have another one that I think that you could bat around as well.
Okay.
Remember the book Showtime by our friend Jeff Perlman?
Sure.
About the Lakers?
About the LA Lakers. Yeah, I remember it well.
It's being made into a movie, a feature movie.
Wow.
And do you know who they chose? It's a Hollywood star, and it's a big Hollywood star. Who did they choose to play Pat Riley?
Pat Riley.
Ed Hospodar.
No. What's the name of the lady who's in that new movie where she's wandering in the wilderness?
Frances McDormand?
I think Frances McDormand is Pat Riley. What do you think?
If anybody could do it, it would be her.
She's a phenomenal actor.
Isn't it McDermott?
No.
Frances McDormand.
McDormand.
It's actually, Don, if you want to pronounce it correctly, it's Frances McDormand.
All right, the actor who's playing Pat Riley.
Jim Carrey.
No. Adrian Brody.
Oh, that's he's a little too tall and thin, but that's,
Pat Riley is tall.
I feel like Adrian Brody.
Riley's 6'6".
Oh, is that tall?
Yes, he used to play basketball.
But Brody has a gigantic schnozola. I'm not allowed to say real things. When you look at Brody, you think of the schnoz. So, when you look at Riley, you think of the slick back hair. I don't think of a schnoz.
So maybe they'll put on a prosthetic nose.
He's a great actor. That's very cool. Wow.
How do you put on it?
A smaller
nose? A nose that makes it look smaller.
They'll actually surgically do it.
No, well, that's not it. I heard that for this film, you're going to have to suspend disbelief. Donnie's going to be wearing one of the big noses with the eyebrows and the mustache. The whole film. It's a very avant-garde kind of thing. All right, guys, let's hear from Jay Will on KJZ, which you can hear every morning right here on 98.7 ESPN. Jay Will, he's saying that free agents have to at least see that the Knicks can compete.
Young assets that continue to play well, this only helps the Knicks. And if they find a way to get to the playoffs, that's what people want to see. That's what free agents want to see. The New York Knicks knocking on the door. Yeah. You don't have to walk all the way through the door, but just the fact that you're at the party, willing to knock on the door, speaks volumes about where the Knicks are at.
It's going to be you, Michael, knocking on doors at parties. You know what I'm saying?
I would think that those doors would be open to me.
Of course they will. You're Michael Kay, for God's
sake.
And
you're gonna be with me. I have another quiz. You ready?
Okay. Is this an age game again?
No. Okay. So the Bears signed Andy Dalton.
That's right.
Before they signed him, their Super Bowl odds at William Hill were 40-1. What did they go to after Andy Dalton signing?
46-1.
I think they stayed the same.
They went to 50-1. According to Darren Revelle.
That means just the hope of it being someone better than Dalton.
Or they felt that Trubisky's better than him.
Or the 40-1 was the hope that they'd get Russell Wilson.
And then it would drop to like 10-1.
You know what you made me realize in this moment, Michael?
That I should host ENN?
That, number one, because you're doing a tremendous job with this stuff. And number two, that I should be grateful. Because I'm sitting here complaining about Fitzpatrick to Washington. Guys, what would my mood be like if it was Trubisky? And it could have happened.
I think Trubisky's better, has more potential than
No,
yes,
Michael. No. Stop.
No.
No, he's a dud, Michael.
Michael, he's a dud. You know what the first two letters of Trubisky are?
True. T-R.
Right. You know what the next four letters really are? Three letters?
No.
A-S-H.
Oh, my. That's somebody's son.
I'm not saying as a human being. I'm saying as a quarterback.
I don't care.
I'm sure he's a great guy. He's not good. Let me go to some experts here we have here. Andrew Gundling, how would you feel, Mitch Trubisky, if you were me and you got him as your quarterback, what would you feel?
I'd be bummed.
Much more bummed than Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Anthony Pusick, how say you?
I would not be thrilled, no.
He's a bum,
Michael. But are you thrilled with Fitzpatrick? Thrilled with Fitzpatrick?
I'm not thrilled.
He's been on 9 teams in 14 years.
But Trubisky would have been
emotionally
crippling to Peter.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't have been able to do the show today.
That's like fetal position, like drinking alcohol through a baby bottle.
Don, you see me. You complete me. I feel seen.
We're doing on April 11th, by the way.
What?
That's when I'm at full shot. Look at this. We'll be in a fetal position with a bottle. Thinking about declothing.
Are you going to, Michael, you know what else I think, too?
I'm going to sleep over your house because I will never drive.
Well, of course not. That I will never advocate for. But I do think you should start drinking during the show. And I do think an occasional cigarette during the show would be tremendous.
No, I can't do that.
Why?
No, because it killed my dad. I'm not going to do it.
Maybe you can get revenge.
Oh, I'll kill cigarettes?
Would that be a problem for Yes?
You sucker them in. They think you're close, and you kill them.
Do you think that would be a problem for Yes?
If I drank during the show?
Yeah, and smoked a heater. I mean, it's in your own home.
I mean, we used to show Jim Leland smoking a heater.
I think you'd get a talking to.
Was that a blunt? A jacket and a tie.
I got to tell you, it'd be so old school. Do you think there's any broadcasters left who are still smoking heaters in the booth every blue moon?
Let me think.
No.
Take that.
No.
No, there's not a building in the country that it would allow it.
Yeah, but I'm sure that it was like that for a while. There were still some classic, you know, vets who were smoking their heaters.
Yeah, there was. I don't know why it's not coming to me, but a lot of people were smoking when they shouldn't have been.
Mr. Scully was not a heater smoker, huh?
When you had who?
Oh, yeah, Red Auerbach. So he's sitting there doing center stage, and this is after the ordinance in New York City. Could not smoke in any – this is in the book, by the way, Center Stage, coming out on June 15th.
You had Red Auerbach on center stage?
Yes, it was a great, great game.
That is the very definition of we're not worthy, we're not worthy.
True. Right. And so he's sitting there, and like halfway through the show – he pulls out a cigar and starts and lights up.
Damn right he did.
So our producer at the time, a young lady, comes out and said, "Excuse me, I'm so sorry, Mr. Auerbach, but there's a rule in New York City, you can't smoke indoors." And he looked at her and went, and then fired it up.
And it's on the show, right?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
Good for him.
No, I mean, at that point, good for him.
What year was this?
Must have been 2004 or 5.
Yeah, you must have looked.
Yeah, it's in the book.
Is it a troubling look for you?
What do you mean, is it a troubling look?
2004, 2005, center stage worries me.
No. I was good then. I'd say a little after that, you're getting into a beefy offensive lineman keg.
Not to say I don't like.
We call it bulk. Beefy offensive lineman keg.
Wow, I love bulk. I'm so jealous you met Red Auerbach. Icon.
I hope you read the book because you'll be jealous of a lot of people that I met.
Well, I don't know about that, but I can't wait to read the book. I'm very excited about it. Now, speaking of Boston.
June 15th, you can order now on Amazon.com.
Is that true?
Yeah, you can pre-order.
It's tremendous. I can't wait to read this book. Where's my copy?
We don't have the hard copy. I will personalize copies for both of you guys. You're my guys.
Yeah, I'll buy it as a gift for other people, Don.
No, but I think we're obligated to buy.
No, you're not.
A copy.
Don't worry about it.
Come on.
No,
I'll buy one.
Send me one, yeah, and I'll gift the other one.
Right, that's fine. That's fair.
Who would you gift it to? You think your brother would like it?
Yeah, sure.
I have zero interest.
I have John Cena in the book.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. No,
I was at that one.
Made the top 35. No.
Oh,
that's troubling, isn't it, Peter?
No, okay. Michael's list is pretty strong. Although I'm going to disagree with some.
All right, want me to give you the list that just on the front cover?
All right,
and we'll say whether it should be in the book or not.
A-Rod. The title of the book is From A to Z, A-Rod to Jay-Z. A-Rod, okay. Billy Crystal.
Yes.
Okay.
Adam Sandler.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Young.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Meyers. Mm-hmm. Alan Alda.
Yeah.
Don was at that one.
I was there.
Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Chris Everett. Yeah. Sylvester Stallone.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Bill Parcells.
Mm.
Jerry Jones.
No.
Paul Simon.
I'm not gonna read that one.
Paul Simon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bill Russell. Bill Russell.
Oh, wow.
John Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
George Foreman.
Yeah.
Red Auerbach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yogi Berra.
Sure.
Yeah.
Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Costas.
Oh, yeah.
Serena Williams.
Yeah. Wow.
Larry David.
Yeah.
Yep. Lorne Michaels.
Wow. Really?
Really, Don?
I said, that was,
Lawrence
Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Andre Agassi.
Wow. Okay, I'm jealous again. I said I wouldn't be jealous. I'm jealous again.
Snoop Dogg.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Lindsey Vonn, who really liked the taster. Olympic champion.
She's
greatest at what she does.
I know, but there are a lot of Olympic champions.
We chose her.
Don, you're with me.
John McEnroe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
The great author, David Halberstam. Some of the greatest books of our time.
No, I understand that, but you have a book.
I'll buy his book. Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jay-Z.
Yeah.
It's a very good list. John Cena, you can't really... I might throw John Cena over above Lindsey Vonn, but that's personal bias.
Now, did you mention in the book that somebody had to go fetch Serena for you?
Yeah, I did. It's in all the backstories. Yeah, I don't want to give that story away. You got to buy the book.
That's why I didn't give.
Wait, it's on pre-order right now.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
at BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com.
They're
going fast, from what I'm hearing.
Is that what I'm saying?
Because we
thought it was going to come out in April, and I mentioned pre-orders maybe last December, and so many people pre-ordered it.
I got to tell you this right now, by the way, for anyone. Michael's not going to say it, but I'm going to say it for everyone listening to the show. If you buy the book and you ever plan on meeting the Caster at one of our events, it's one thing to bring him a baseball. You want to get a good reaction, you bring someone the book that you bought of theirs. That gets you a good autograph.
I thought public appearances were done forever.
No.
You think it's coming back?
Public, yeah, at some point.
Okay.
Not anytime soon. I mean,
I think
the book will be out of print by the time we do that.
No, I think in 2022 we'll be out in public.
Absolutely not.
Not in 2022?
No.
Hold on. You don't think a year from this summer we'll have a public event?
No.
Then you really think something else bad's going to happen?
No.
Then you got to give us the rest of the theory that the vaccine's not going to work and we're entering back in. Because if things go as they're expected to go,
right,
there's no reason summer 2022 shouldn't be on the table.
Now, Peter, I'm sure that you have a lot of ENN still left, right?
I haven't done any stories.
Yes.
All right, I haven't done any stories yet.
Why don't we take a brief timeout?
Right.
But you know what? You haven't done a story yet. It's been one of the best ENNs in months.
I'm having a ball. I'm not complaining at all.
All right, so we will do that when we take the break, you should listen to commercials because they're important. They pay the bills. But also order a pre-ordered copy of the book on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or wherever you get your books. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you. June 15th it comes out right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's right. Happy 316, March 16th, a.k.a. Stone Cold Steve Austin Day, here on ENN on the Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN. And yes, let's continue on as we celebrate the great Steve Austin. Of course, I'm wearing a classic Steve Austin WrestleMania tee. I don't remember which one this is. They had three. Of course, Austin and Rocky had three different ones, 15, 17, and 19. I think this is 17.
By the way, did Don ever give you a suit size yesterday?
Eventually he did, so we're working on that.
I had to ask Nancy. She knew.
She did know your suit size?
Yes.
You could change, though, Don, if you're losing weight the way you say you are. So.
Yeah, 235 last check. That's big, but not as big.
No, you're doing good.
Well.
You're doing well. Now, Michael, how... I'm thinking about March 24th a lot. And for people who don't know, on Wednesday, March 24th, that's a week from tomorrow to you and me.
Exciting, huh?
The three of us will be calling a few innings of a Yankee spring training game.
You know, I had a dream the other day that it got rained out.
Was it a daydream?
No.
You were awake.
I was sleeping at night, and it got rained out.
So it wasn't a fantasy.
I want it to happen. I think it's going to be great.
I just don't know how serious you are about my half inning.
No. I'm very serious about that.
Because I've been, you know, it's all I've been thinking about, to be honest with you.
Well, hold on. But I just want to say one thing, okay? Don, if you, in fact, end up getting a half inning, you got to make sure I get a little room in the other couple innings. You can't go 70%, then half inning, and then I get zero on everything.
I'm
going to be the statistician.
Do you have anything to say? That's what I want to know.
Sure I do.
All right.
What do you mean, do I have anything to say?
Don't you understand there?
Well, here's the thing about the play-by-play. There's a pace, right? It's not like hockey where there can be 5 minutes of continuous play. There'll be plenty of time.
It's like a rocking chair pace.
And I'm actually working on a top five.
Interesting.
What do you mean? Oh, a top five to do during Michael's play-by-play.
Or maybe during mine.
Wow. I don't know. You know,
he's taking it seriously. You're not, Peter.
Why did you say that?
I'm worried about you. I'm not worried about Don. Don equals pro.
What do you think I should try to bring to this broadcast?
Discretion.
Honestly,
go ahead, Don.
You'll have observations on what's going on.
I mean, I don't know. I was watching that game Monday. There were some moments when there was not a lot to observe. I mean. Spring training baseball, Don, is as close to watching someone just paint on television as you can get.
Well, not the first four innings, which is what you'll be in the middle of. The first four innings, you're seeing all the people. You're seeing all the important people.
We'll be seeing a starting pitcher.
Right, and all the starters.
And we'll see all the starters.
Yeah.
And by the way, this game's what, a week out from opening day?
Yeah.
So this is not Yo-Yo Bumchuck time. We're going to see everyone.
No.
All right.
What I would like you to do, and I know you're going to get angry with me.
Go ahead.
You got to put Bear in a kennel that day. He can't be barking during a Yankee game.
I'm not going to put him in. Hold on. It wouldn't be a kennel, no matter what. What I could do is, I will, for the sake of the game, we can't risk anything.
Muzzle him.
I'll just lock him in the bedroom. He'll be fine.
Yeah, but his bark pierces walls.
Hey, Bear, I need you to shut up. You don't want that to happen?
No.
You know what I think I'm going to do? You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to try to use my connections and talk to a couple of guys from the Yankees. That's right.
Okay.
You don't think I can?
No, not a chance.
I'm going to have a little conversation with a couple of guys so I can then say, Don, you know, I spoke to Aaron Hicks the other day, and he, what about that? You think, Don, that would be a good, useful
that
way
to
be involved?
Very useful.
You know what we did yesterday, Don? It was so cool. We mic'd up Aaron Hicks while he
was
in the center field.
Yeah.
And he caught a ball while he was mic'd up. It was so cool. That's what baseball should do. Make the players available like that. Sell the players. Sell their personality.
We've been saying this for years.
Well, it's time.
I agree.
Well, don't talk to baseball. Talk to the players.
No. Both.
Well, I think baseball's open to do it, but it's got to be negotiated. And knowing their relationship, the players will will allow, you know, mics, but then, you know, they'd have to, like,
players
have double
have to
DHs or something.
They also have to realize that it sells them and it sells their brand, too.
But they don't care.
I think they do.
Because selling their brand makes more money for the owners, who they despise. Now, their money's already guaranteed. They don't care.
By the way,
if they had an actual partnership, then maybe they would care about growing the game.
We said to Flip, when he agreed to do this, that we were going to raise money for Make-A-Wish.
Right.
So the March 24th game, the page is up. The Make-A-Wish page is up. Just went up. People can go to, strange, bit.ly/kspringtraining for more information on how you can help.
Wait, this is big. Well, this is very important. This is breaking news sounder important when you think about it, because this is the information people have been waiting for.
Yes.
So I'm going to tweet that right now. I think we all should tweet that immediately.
Okay.
Because literally, as of this moment, there's no it hasn't yet gotten – it's at zero.
Just went up.
So this is the time. Our goal is $10,000 to raise for Make-A-Wish. We're at zero. And I'm excited to see – how much our people get after this right away so we can do something special. So I'm going to tweet it on Rosenberg Radio this very minute.
All right, let me give it to you again right here. bit.ly/kspringtraining. That's for more information on how you could help Make-A-Wish, which is a great charity. I host a Make-A-Wish dinner. Jody and I host a Make-A-Wish dinner where we live. It's amazing the stuff that this organization does for not just for the kid, but for the family as well. It's so important, and it's so important to raise the funds. So, if you could help out, that would be great. And
I wish
John and Peter an extra inning.
I wish that someone would want me as their Make-A-Wish. I'd be such a tremendous Make-A-Wish. I don't think anyone wants me.
Do you know who is? Given the most Make-A-Wishes?
John Cena. Come on, what do you think I am, a joke? Who do you look at me? Look at me.
John Cena has done the most by far.
Yeah,
I know. Kids love him, and he's amazing.
No, he's done a gazillion of them. It's wild. Well, we're talking Yankees and the fact that we'll be calling the game together on March 24th, so we should also mention that manager Aaron Boone told reporters of two injuries heading into the game against Detroit earlier today. Kyle Higashioka, the backup catcher, was slated to play Tuesday, but Boone said he felt soreness on his side. He was scratched. Also, right-hander Adam Warren shut down after feeling shoulder soreness.
He's coming back from Tommy John surgery, so that's a little bit concerning.
Bigger baseball news. We knew LeBron James once was a Yankee fan. We know he then was an avid Cleveland Indians fan. And at some point, even an LA Dodger fan. Well, I think now you can permanently assume LeBron James is a Boston Red Sox fan. LeBron and his partner, Maverick Carter, are part of an ownership group that has bought into the Boston Red Sox. The report is in the Boston Globe.
Which the Red Sox own.
And the Fenway. So you mean it's a reliable source for the story, then?
Yes.
So the Fenway Sports Group, which also co-owns Roush Fenway Racing, now has LeBron and Maverick as owners. So, supposedly, the number we heard earlier was $750 million?
Yep.
To get in? We don't know exactly what LeBron and Maverick put up, but they're really part of the group, though. I mean, get ready to see LeBron at Fenway. What an interesting sort of random thing this is that I did not expect on this Tuesday.
I would think, my best guess, if the Red Sox were put up for sale, they'd get upwards of $4 billion for the Red Sox. But I don't think the $750 is just for the Red Sox, because it's for Fenway Sports Group, which owns, as you said, the racing I believe
they own 50% of the racing too.
Right, so he's not buying like a quarter of the Red Sox. Although I'd say at 750, he's probably got a significant portion, but not a decision making portion.
Is there a soccer team too under that?
I think so. Yeah, the Liverpool team. Good pull, Tom. I forgot about that one.
So, that's a nice investment.
Very nice investment, and I wonder how often he'll go to Boston.
I think that LeBron is living his best life.
I hope LeBron's happy. Wouldn't it be a bummer if he found out LeBron was miserable?
I don't think he is. He's living a dream life.
He's doing well for himself. That LeBron. Moving along. The NCAA tournament would be willing to swap its schedule if BYU makes the Sweet 16. The tournament selection committee put itself in a similar bind back in 2003 by placing BYU in the East region, where the Sweet 16 would be contested on March 28th. The Mormon school's policy prohibits competition on Sundays. In such a scenario, the East teams would swap dates with the Midwest qualifiers to accommodate the Cougars. So I sort of hope that happens. Just because, come on. It's not that hard. How many schools do you have to think about? I don't think Yeshiva made the tournament this year.
No, they were on the bubble.
They were first four out?
Yeah, first four.
Yeshiva can't play Saturdays. BYU can't play Sundays. It's a whole thing. But no, there's only one team you have to worry about. The Patriots are loading up. Hunter Henry, three-year, $37.5 million contract, $25 million guaranteed. Serious tight end core here for the New England Patriots as they gear up. And, Michael, you said it earlier, they still have a ton of money. In fact, so much money available that, in theory, they could make a play for Deshaun Watson.
Yep. I don't know if they have the collateral to get it, though, you know, the draft collateral, but who knows? Again, they're close. Casera worked for the Patriots forever.
We mentioned it earlier. Ryan Fitzpatrick has reached an agreement with the Washington football team. 1 year, $10 million. Incentives for $12 million. He's expected to enter camp as the starter, where he'll compete with Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen. And, guys, we can say what we want about Ryan Fitzpatrick and what his ceiling is. There's such a difference between being an absolute professional and the next level down that even if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick, you guys know he's winning that competition. It's just a different thing altogether. No disrespect to Kyle Allen. And I'm not saying Kyle Allen's not a pro, but I just don't think he's able to beat Ryan Fitzpatrick in that competition.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick just hits different.
He does hit different.
Yeah.
You know, well, listen, we'll see. Do you guys believe that at some point this season, I will show up on a Monday?
Yes, high on fraud.
High on Fitzmagic. My God.
Do you believe that it's accurate to say that today, March 16th, you do not have the feels about Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
I'm not getting the magic feeling today.
All right.
No.
It's kind of how it works with him.
But I'm open, Don.
You got to win him over, Don. You really do.
No, but I'm open. I like Fitz. I do. I remember, we had him on the show a couple years ago. I like him. He is a smart, likable, interesting guy who comes into games and makes you believe. Players love him. I'm sure I'll get on board. I was just ready to start planning for a future. This is a one-year plan. Okay.
They didn't think they can get a quarterback or want any of the quarterbacks available that they thought fit that bill, so let's try to win now.
Maybe I'll think when they draft some kid, right? Maybe I'll think, wow, this was the really reasonable way to play it because you got a kid who's going to be developed for a year. And trying it that way may be the path.
Maybe Heinicke is somebody they believe in. Just not yet.
I don't think so. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday, 3/16.
Can I tell you something? Why we have the best audience that listens and watches this show? It was put up a minute ago, 2 minutes ago, and we already have $1,800 that people have put to the cause.
No.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Come on.
18. What'd you say? We're looking for 10 grand?
Yeah.
I think we get that before we go off the air at 7. Let's think bigger. This is a great cause.
Wow. Hold on. I'm about to click this link to see if I even believe you. No, we're up to 1941 of the 10 grand already?
That's right.
Guys, thank you.
Let's see if the big fella can open up his wallet and a moth flies out. So he'll join us in just a moment.
Love the
he's
big
got,
fella.
He's got another half hour show. Boy, is he putting in work. Chris Carlin coming up in just a moment, so stay tuned for that right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.